Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV every week at this time, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But it can only be a debate if you join in. That's why, above all, we need your telephone calls on 44208601455. We'll call you back to establish a clear line. If you get on the air, make sure your television is down to zero on the volume control, or no one will understand either of us. You can SMS the show on 44780008066, or you can email us at comment@presstv.co.uk. Now, most people thought George W. Bush couldn't even read a book, never mind write one. But he's back with his memoir, Decision Points. It's been treated with a certain amount of derision in the world, though in it are some extraordinary revelations, one of which has led Amnesty International to demand his prosecution for torture. He said that when asked if he could simulate the drowning of prisoners in Guantanamo Bay, damn right, that was his response, thus claiming personal responsibility for acts, more than 160 of such acts against just one prisoner in particular. We'll be discussing George Bush, his legacy, and his memoirs in the course of the Comment show this evening. And the Conservative government's own headquarters in central London were on fire this week after a huge demonstration of more than 50,000 angry students started to go through central London, heading for a rally. A group of some thousands of them broke away from the main rally and broke into the Milbank Tower, where the headquarters of the Conservative Party, the governing party, the main governing party in Britain, are housed. There was terrible scenes of violence, with a very small number of police trying to hold the line against these furious and angry students, some of whom were anarchists bent on some awful destruction, one of whom threw a fire extinguisher off the roof of the building, narrowly avoiding murdering someone down below. The police have accepted that they policed it badly. They did not anticipate that many students turning up, and they did not anticipate that some of them would break away from the march and break into the Conservative Party's headquarters. They were on fire. Windows were broken. Filthy slogans against the Conservatives were scrawled on walls. And more than 50 people have been arrested and bailed to appear in February. When such scenes occur in some other countries, the Western media encourage us to believe that these are the voices of the people. When they happen in Britain, they're acts of mindless thuggery. It is possible, of course, that they could be both. It's possible that this is the first shot in a very long war across this winter and into next year, as people fight back against the draconian cuts in public expenditure and increases in fees for university students. It's possible that, having taken a look over the precipice, most British people will withdraw. In Paris, of course, and in Greece and elsewhere, these protests went on for a very long time and may re-emerge at any time. It goes without saying that what I express this evening are my own personal views. They're not the views of Press TV. They're certainly not the views of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And most importantly of all, if you have a different view to mine, then we want to hear it. We'll prioritize it. Your call will go in front of others. Your text or email will definitely make it onto the air in one way or another, because we want this to be a debate. Now, one student activist who is extremely angry about the tripling of tuition fees for Britain's students is Claire Solomon. She's the president of the University of London Union, and she's on the line first. Claire, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George. Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. Now, you caused a bit of controversy last night on the BBC's flagship programme Newsnight by appearing to, if not defend, then at least sympathise with, understand the anger of the students who broke into the Conservative Party headquarters building. Is that a fair summary of your views? And if so, tell us what they are.
I've got a very bad line with you, George. I think I'm hearing what you're saying, but I mean, I think we all have to say what a magnificent demonstration that was yesterday. I mean, the BBC, by their own numbers, are saying 52,000. That usually means it's at least a third larger than that. But even so, even at 50,000, that was the largest demonstration we've had against the cuts for well over, or against, you know, these sorts of things for well over a generation, especially about education issues. You know, it puts pay to the argument that students are apathetic. It was a demonstration with students and lecturers and support staff, you know, with the UCU Union and the Unison Union, and I just think what a brilliant show yesterday was, a show that the students, you know, got out on the streets and said, we want to defend our education, we oppose these fees, the rise in fees. Lots of them, the majority of them also opposed fees in general, you know, not just rising in them at all. And most of them were also saying, we support our lecturers in their struggles against the cuts, because it's obviously the lecturers that are going to be losing their jobs as well. And you, if you look at the placards on the demonstration, there were loads of placards about defending people in other public sector work, you know, workplaces, and there was just a really excellent, although very angry, feel to the demonstration all day long.
What about the violence and the destruction at Millbank Tower?
Well, I mean, there's certainly, by, you know, if you look at the mainstream media press, there was definitely some damage to the property, wasn't there? What started off as majority, well, no, it was a very, very peaceful, angry demonstration, not quickly, but got massively provoked by both the police and by people from the building hanging out on the balconies, goading the students, you know, gesturing to them with their hands. That in itself is a provocation, but I can't believe that anybody didn't think that the students would be angry anyway. I mean, the attacks that they're making on our education is just unbelievable. I mean, 100% cuts to the arts funding. This isn't 95% or 99%, it's 100%, that means no more funding. The president of the London Metropolitan University phoned me the other day to tell me that students there on arts courses have been given extra weeks holidays because they've got no money to pay teachers to teach them their art lessons. I mean, this is just astronomical, you know, it's students are really angry.
But you're not defending someone, for example, throwing a fire extinguisher off a roof of a very tall building, which might well have killed someone down below.
No, of course I'm not going to defend that. I mean, any acts of violence against individuals, against people, is you know, it needs to be condemned. I'm not quite sure what that was all about. Actually, I haven't actually seen it at all. As you can imagine, I have been on television program after television program, radio show after radio show all day. My feet literally haven't touched the ground, so I actually haven't seen it. But no, of course, you know, that's
well,
we need to
I saw
that,
it. Of course, when these things happen in some other countries, we're told that these are the voices of the people. But in this country, they're all mindless thugs and anarchists. So there's a fair amount of double standards. But there was, I can assure you, a terrific amount of destruction of property. And there was very serious attacks on some police officers. That's not the way we normally do things in Britain. Is this the shape of things to come, do you think?
I definitely do think this is just the beginning. I mean, this is just, you know, the one sector of all the public services that has announced these cuts so far. We've got the pensions coming up. We've got the welfare reforms today. If they think that people are going to take this quietly, I just think that, you know, they need to reconsider. Look what's happened in Greece, in France, in Ireland. We're going to see mass disruption on a wide scale, as far as I'm concerned. And for this accusation that it's, you know, a bunch of infiltrating anarchists. Now, yes, there were anarchists on the demonstration. Yes, there were lots of socialists on the demonstration. But actually, and you know, because you've been on demonstrations with me, George, I know quite a lot of people that do go on demonstrations. And yesterday, I hardly knew anybody at all. The 10,000 or so people that are at that particular point, I know 5,000, sorry, they're at that particular point, I knew nobody. This was young, angry students that have just come to a demonstration who are angry. They were certainly not part of any infiltrating plot. I think this is a tactic used by the media and the government to delegitimize the protest and to hide the actual, you know, program that they're putting in themselves.
Thank you very much, Claire Solomon, president of the University of London Union, a very powerful and important part of the national student body, predicting, it would seem, a long, hot winter of discontent in this country. Let's talk to Soher, who is also a representative of London students. Soher, welcome to the show. Soher, are you there? Unfortunately, we've lost Soher, and I hope we're not going to have a repeat of some of our problems from last week. We're talking about the extraordinary scenes in central London yesterday when thousands of students broke into the Millbank Tower block, which houses, amongst many other businesses, the headquarters of the ruling Conservative Party. There were fires, there was a great deal of disruption, there was attacks on the police, and some idiot actually threw a fire extinguisher from the top of a tall building, which very nearly killed at least one person down below. We're talking about George W. Bush and his memoirs, which have just been published. As I said, most people thought he never even read books, never mind wrote them. And it turns out he didn't actually write this one either. Some bright young thing from Harvard University was his ghostwriter, which is, if you look at it in the library, I'm not suggesting any of you buy it, why the English language is put down on the page in roughly the right order. It's a self-serving set of memoirs, like most of these memoirs are. But the one remarkable revelation that he makes in the book is his claim of personal responsibility for acts of torture committed in Guantanamo Bay. Amnesty International have called for his prosecution for involvement in torture. Let's go to the comment wall and take one or two emails. We want your emails up here. We want every point of view up here on the show. This one is from London. Mark, I was at the protests. They were amazing. A real power to us who have to suffer stupid government policies. Well, Mark, it certainly was a mammoth demonstration. The police are saying they wholly underestimated the number of people who would be on it and the level of anger that the people on it would be feeling. Well, that's not a mistake anyone will make again, because it's obvious that the Condemn coalition government, which has begun a round of cuts and jacking up, in the case of student fees, tripling of the fees that people pay for public services. Let's take another email up here on the comment wall. This one is from London again. Stephen, George, I was absolutely appalled at the interrogation by Jeremy Paxman last night against Claire Solomon. It was so typical BBC playing the government line. Well, I did make the point earlier, Stephen, that if this protest and the resultant damage had taken place in Iran, just to name one country, everyone would be saying in the Western media that these were the voices of the people and they have to be listened to. But of course, when it happens in Britain, well, it's slightly different. I think we've got Soher back on the telephone line. Soher, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi. Assalamu alaikum, George.
Alaikum salam. Were you on the demonstration yesterday? Tell us how you saw it.
I'm not a student, George, but my son finished university 2 years ago, and I have a daughter who's going to university in 1 year's time.
Uh-huh, and she's going to have to pay the fees, yeah?
Yes, and he started 2003, it was £1,000. 2004, it was £3,000. So by the time my daughter starts, probably will be more than £9,000.
And let's explain, Soher, to the international audience. This is just the tuition fees.
Yes.
The actual cost of living over a 3 or 4 year university course adds up to £40,000 or £50,000 on top of that, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. He took a loan of £16,000 during his study. That's only for the tuition fees. And then on top of that, we had to pay for his living expenses. So imagine if you're in a medium-earned family or poor family, then you are not able to send your children to university. Then what's going to happen to this country? You're going to have a lot of people with no education sitting on the streets, and they're going to be trouble. And they can cut from other sides. Which I remember two shows ago we talked about this, that they can cut by not interfering in other countries. They're paying millions and millions of pounds.
Billions, actually, Soher. Billions, not millions.
Yes, exactly.
And, of course, it must be hard to bear when you look at the politicians who are bringing these things in. All of them received an education entirely free of charge at the taxpayers' expense.
Exactly, exactly. So they don't care.
Kicking away the ladder for your children that they themselves climbed up.
That's right. And I am with the students who go on the demonstration, but not the violent demonstration, because this is their future. Okay, this is their future, the future of their children as well in, let's say, 10 years' time or whatever. But then they have to voice it now. If they don't do anything about it now, it's going to be too late to change later. And this where the revolution started, starts with the students usually. And then the people, the rest of the country will wake up to the other cuts which has been made, which they haven't really have woken up for it.
Well, they haven't started yet. And of course, the Liberal Democrats, who are part of this government, who's introducing these fees, pledged themselves in writing before the election, in front of the student voters, that they would abolish tuition fees. And now they're a part of tripling those tuition fees.
Part of their anger, I think, the students, because they were promised something, and what's been delivered is something else altogether. And
Suhair,
this is
thanks.
The hypocrisy of the democracy in this world.
Suhair, great call. Thanks very much indeed. Coming up on the student and the George Bush issue, we have Mohsen, who's also in London, the scene of the remarkable events yesterday on the student demonstration. Mohsen, welcome to the show, my friend. Mohsen, are you there?
I can't hear anything from Mr. Galloway.
Well, I'm talking to you now, and you're live on the air. Can you hear me, sir?
Sorry, Mr. Galloway. Good evening, first.
Good evening.
We just had a cross line early on, so, I mean, it was a bit of confusion. First of all, talking about Mr. Bush.
Yes.
The book, I don't think you need to mention the book because like that you advertise him for it because he's not worth reading. Amnesty International, they need really to look at 1.5 million Iraqis being killed and millions being displaced. Same in Afghanistan. The man was used for a reason. And I mean, I don't know if you understand what I mean by used or not. It was like planned 3 years before to go into Iraq and so on. So please, please don't mention him because he's not worth even mentioning. History will remember people like that as in the garbage, excuse my language, tin, because they've done more bad than good to humanity.
Well, they'll all have to face the judgment day, as we all will, Mohsen. Now, you got a point of view on the student demonstration?
Yeah, well, the student, demonstration, I'm really surprised that a government of the United Kingdom makes sure that any child comes out of university is in debt before he starts his life, of about 27 to 32,000. It depends, obviously, how many years you're going to be at university. I've got a child who's going, in hopefully, inshallah, not next year, the year after. And I'm thinking of it from now. Bad enough, £3,000. Where I'm going to fork out £9,000.
£9,000 just for the tuition fees, Mohsen, plus the living costs.
Yeah, plus the living costs. I'm really surprised Mr. Nick Clegg, after he pledged to abolish everything, I voted for him, and I get that from him. The big companies and the big banks done what they've done. They buggered everything, and us who pays in the end of it. We pay when they are rich, we pay when they are poor. That's the problem, that the poor man, the working class man, he is the one ends up always paying. And these rich guys, they are all fine. But us, we the people who's going to pay.
Would it surprise you, Mohsen, if I told you that of the 28 members of the cabinet in Britain, 18 of them are millionaires?
Yeah, no. Well, I can see the way they dress. I can see the way they, what sort of cars they have. I can see where they eat in restaurants. A luxury life, Mr. Galloway. But I have got a bit of reservation about the demonstration. Please don't burn, don't break, don't hurt anyone, because in the end of it, things belongs to us, to the people. Conservative, government, people comes and goes, but the building, it belongs to us.
Very good contribution indeed. Thanks for that, Mohsen. Let's stay on the student issue and talk to David in London. David, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What did you think of it yesterday?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just waiting for the Chinese to bring their troops over to come and liberate the people, because if this was happening to Iran, you know, everyone would be saying, oh, you know, we need to assist the people in order to liberate them and call for their needs and things along those lines. So we need the Chinese really to send their troops over here and liberate the people. I can't believe the double standard. This obviously is I am making a bit of a jest of it, but it's an internal kind of situation which happens all over the world.
Well, it was very embarrassing for Cameron for this to happen just as he was arriving at the G20 summit in South Korea, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, David Cameron always thought he was a BMW salesman, and a pretty poor one at that. And he's just, he's just 100% spin, no substance, just following the protocol that's laid out in front of him.
Of course, funnily enough, David, he just finished lecturing the Chinese on how to run their country.
Yeah, and they're running extremely well compared to us and our trade deficits and things along those lines. And, you know, you would see the government as incompetent, where every year they're running the same service, but they expect more money. I mean, the tripling of student fees, and they're going to get exactly the same service, maybe even
a worse service, because they're sacking teachers too.
Exactly. So, I mean, if this was a corporation, say if I had a business and every year I'm running that business with more expenses, I mean, then that business should either someone should take it over or it should be, you know, cease to exist. This government just proved, the government prior and this present government, they're failing to meet the demands of the public, you know.
Okay, like, David, thanks for that. Terrific call. Three terrific calls in a row. Let's try and get a fourth one in. This one from Ricardo in London on both the subjects we're debating tonight. Ricardo, welcome to comment.
Good evening.
Good evening. Go ahead.
I must say that I'm very, very much disappointed in Mr. Nick Clegg.
Yes. Tell us why.
I voted for Nick Clegg because I thought he was going to bring changes to the politics in the country. But what I have seen today and what I did see yesterday, it tells me that all these politicians, they don't practice what they preach. I'm not saying what the students did was right, but this is telling the government that this is the sign of the time, that people are not just going to be sitting down for them to initiate laws and bring out new laws that is going to affect the citizens.
Do you think the government imagined that they could get this package through without this kind of trouble? They counted on the fact the British are not really like the French when it comes to street demonstrations of this kind.
Well, I mean, we saw it in Greece, we've seen it in France, and it's never happened since I read that it's never happened like that before since the 1990.
Yeah, since the poll tax demonstration, which turned into a riot, present there on the platform when it was all happening.
That's correct, and this should be a lesson to David Cameron, and people are not happy. I mean, we the ordinary workers and ordinary people had to bail the banks out. I mean, look at the millions that was spent in bailing the banks out. It wasn't our fault. But at the end of the day, we have to bear the brunt of all these spending of these politicians, of these bankers. We have to bear the brunt of all these. I think that's not fair. I'm not saying what the students did was right, but this is a sign of the time. The police.
Well, I must say, Ricardo, that's a fourth great call, two great emails, and another half of the show still to go. You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV every week at this time, bringing you the big conversation, bringing you the great debate. But to be a debate, we need your calls on the numbers coming up on the screen throughout the show. We'll call you back. We want opposition calls. If you disagree with me, then you better get dialing. I'll be back after this. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV every week at this time, bringing you the great debate. That's why we need your calls, especially if you disagree with me. Let's go straight to a call from London, from William, on George W. Bush. William, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, George.
Hi.
I just want one thing, or quickly, about George Bush.
Yeah.
Now, as you, I am working from a Christian background, and I'm finding the situation has a certain parallelism with Islam in that, quote, moderate Islam repudiates Muslim terrorism. Now, equally, mainstream Christianity, all of authentic Christianity, repudiates Bush, Blair, neocon terrorism, which they masquerade and use Christian slogans in order to justify their own barbarism, inhumanity, and absolute disgraceful criminal conduct. You see, torture is a criminal offence under the UN Convention. Now, Article 3, in fact, it's not Article 3, Article 2 says, no exceptional circumstances whatever, whether a state of war or a threat of war, internal political instability, or any other public emergency may be invoked as a justification for torture. And yet George Bush goes on air, writes it down with the support of Tony Blair, with the support, I believe, of the majority of the Labour cabinet who voted for war on Iraq. He supports torture. In fact, the British government, under Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, continued to allow spy, you know, these rendition flights into the United Kingdom airspace using UK airports.
Having denied them in the House of Commons.
Yes, yes. And I think that the whole lot, the whole dirty dozen, as it were, Bush, Blair, Gordon Brown, the whole entire cabinet, Peter Hain, all of these people are supposedly lefties and all very good and who forgot completely their commitment to human rights once they got into power, who completely forgot their commitment to the UN Charter, completely forgot their basic humanity, who just turned into aggressors, replicating the Gestapo, replicating the attacks of the Third Reich on different countries in Europe. All this came from a Labour cabinet, and I am disgusted. That's why, in fact, I'm not a Labour Party supporter. I cannot trust them again. And I think that George Bush should be brought to court, as should Tony Blair. Blair should be impeached and by the British Parliament. The trouble is the British Parliament has compromised itself. I think
it's a great call, William. Real Christians believe in the prophets, peace be upon them. George W. Bush believed in the prophets and how to get a bigger piece of them. That's the difference between your kind of Christianity and his. Thanks very much indeed for the call. Let's stay in London, stay on Bush, and go to hear Mahmoud. Mahmoud, welcome to the show, my friend. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening, George.
Good evening, sir.
Even before George Bush implicated himself regarding both wars, Afghanistan and Iraq, and followed by illegal torture to the large number of suspects never proved by any legal means, but what surprises me is how come the whole world, other leaders, kept completely quiet about it, including our Middle Eastern Muslim leaders.
Well, you know, Mahmoud, I was in Berlin for the last few days, and it was a very good conference, but we had all sorts of international lawyers on, talking about the International Criminal Court and human rights law and all of this, and boasting that President Bashir of Sudan has been served with an indictment, and Charles Taylor of Liberia is on trial, and Milosevic was tried, and so on. But they have no answer to the big question that Bush and Blair killed more than 1 million people in Iraq. Bush has now admitted authorizing personally acts of torture in the illegal detention camp at Guantanamo Bay. And you and I both know that neither of these men is ever going to be put on trial. Ah, I lost Mahmoud. Let's go to Liverpool, talk to Evergreen, Rita, on all the subjects we're discussing tonight. Rita, welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Well, Thankfully, there's no gremlins. It seems to be a bit quieter tonight.
Seems to be.
Well, as William has said, everything I wanted to say about Bush, and of course, where there's no sense, there's no feeling. But these men seem to have no concept of the suffering, the terrible, horrific cycle of violence that they've perpetrated on that part of the world, putting the whole world in jeopardy. So when I heard the ministers today calling for the students to be prosecuted, I think they should get the priorities right. Their friends, the multimillionaire and billionaire tax dodgers who cost this country over $70 billion a year at the UK Treasury.
Which is, by the way, the entire deficit.
Shouldn't they be prosecuted, George? Shouldn't Bush, Blair and co. be prosecuted? It seems like that, you know, why should the students and the young people? What's more violent than all these wars, they say? And there's been nothing but violence on the television everywhere for years, glorified by Hollywood and everything. So it seems like the chickens are coming home to roost now, and they need to prosecute the real criminals at the top who are committing crimes on us every single day, and the poor people over there in the Middle East, and get the real guilty people prosecuted. But like I say, you know, the rendition flights and everything that William was talking about. So when the politicians and the powers that be start to lead by example, then the young people won't be so angry. Justice for all, not just for some. As Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So the big multi-billionaires first. Start at the top. Prosecute them.
Okay, Rita, thanks very much indeed. Another brilliant call. Let's go to Germany. Hope we've got a clear line to Khaled on the subject of George W. Bush. Khaled, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thank you very much for calling back. I'm very lucky today.
You're welcome. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I have some points. I'm living here in Germany since 25 years. I'm Egyptian from Egypt. I'm calling the German citizen, but it's as a protection now in this time. You are not allowed to say I'm from Egypt, I'm Muslim. It's very sensible now in Europe, you know.
Yes, after very sensitive,
what
yes.
Bush had done in the last 8 or 9 years, you know.
Yes.
And he's... And I think it's still going on. I'm feeling it's like a war against Islam as a religion, at the people and so on. And there are a lot of followers here in Europe.
There's 20 million Muslims in Europe, in the European Union.
Oh, I mean followers in Europe, the politic in Europe is following blind the United States without saying why. Why is Israel doing this? Why is Mr. Bush doing this? You know?
Well, let's be fair, Khaled. The German government stayed out of the Iraq war, as did the French government. They'd be wise to do the same in Afghanistan. Khaled, thanks very much for your call. Let's go back to London, talk to Anjum on the issue of the student demonstration. Anjum, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello there. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
I just want to ask George that, you know, that the fee they are putting up and up and up.
Yes.
That's a big problem for the people, you know, that came from other countries and they wanted to have higher studies. And I'm actually from Pakistan, yes. And my family, they have quite few students, so they're top in the top universities, yeah. And even 3,000, 3,500, that was too much for us, yes. And if they're putting double of this, so then how we can afford this? So that means, so they are just, you know, trying to stop the people from the Muslim countries come here and study. And
well,
then
I think they're stopping everybody from any kind of poor background, whatever their faith or religion, you know?
Yeah, but that is not right, George.
No, I know it's not right. I know indeed that it's not right. Let's go all the way to South Africa and talk to Trevor on the subject of George W. Bush. Trevor, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, yes, Trevor. George.
Hello, Trevor.
Hello, George, how are you?
Yes, very well. Nice to hear from you. Where are you in South Africa?
Yeah, I'm bringing from South Africa. Yeah, I want to comment about George Bush.
Yes.
You see, George Bush, he's a Bush as of his name, you know. All these protests he has caused in Iraq, protests he has caused in Afghanistan, protests he has caused all over the world because of George Bush. And in a way, even if he's writing this book, he's just writing this book, but just because, you know, there are some educated savages. He thinks he's educated, but he is not educated at all. You know, we got some people, some presidents here in Africa, the South Sarah who is in Hague, being cast off the things which has happened in his country. And then him, he did a lot of things like in Iraq, he killed a lot of people there.
Yeah, you're right, Trevor. I think he's actually writing it to make money. That's my guess. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Uxbridge, near London, talk to Zahid, who wants to talk about the student demonstration. Zahid, welcome.
Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
George, first of all, you are an inspiration. Man, you're a very strong, a man with very strong views.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I'll have to disagree with the point on the student fee. I was just watching the program and talking to my wife. I am from Pakistan. She's from England. What I don't understand is that, you know, UK, it's £3,000 to go to a very good university.
For a year. £3,000 a year, yes.
Exactly. And then you know, I've done my chartered accountancy. I came here, worked as, you know, I've been working in a good company, as a very good position. But when I was in Pakistan, I actually paid for my education myself. And when I see people here, you know, just...
But the reason, Zahid, is because we pay tax. We pay good amounts of money in tax. And that's supposed to pay for our public services.
I agree, and I'm paying 40% tax myself, you know, in addition to...
So, if you're paying 40% tax, I'm paying 50%, me. I want my child to have a decent school and a decent university to go to. It's an investment by the country, not a cost.
I agree, George, but, you know, people, if they really want to study, why can't they not just work hard, get the money, and then go to the university, just like in the U.S.?
Well, the cost of the tuition fees for a four-year course at Oxford University will be almost £40,000. The cost of living for 4 years will be over £50,000. That's £100,000 to go to Oxford University. How do you save up £100,000, Zahid?
No, I agree. And George, if you want to go to Harvard University, it's $60,000.
Yes, but the Americans don't pay tax like we do. They have low rates of taxation. We have high rates of taxation. And that was supposed to pay for the civilization that we used to have.
So, George, effectively, if it's leading to, you know, lower rate of taxation and more autonomy for people, you know, for people to want to decide for themselves, if they want to go to good university, pay it themselves, rather than, you know, relying on other
Well, that's
to
different to the way we do things historically here, Zahid. We believe that there's no civilization without taxation, and that rich people have no greater right to go to university than poor people, and that if poor people don't go to university, it's not just the poor people who lose. It's the country which loses. Thanks for the call, though. Let's go to Wendy in Edinburgh on terrorism. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Thank you. I just wanted to see what a joy it was to listen to William from London. You know, I think he's always a lot older than me, a lot of experience in his life. Wonderful.
It was a great call, yeah.
I agree that, you know, through the economic manipulation by bankers and politicians, the misuse of religion, the fear-mongering, vaccinations, medicine, that many false flag wars have been created, and that the war on terrorism, I think people are going to start to see through it. And I feel that the riots today, or yesterday, sorry, have showed that the youth, the younger people, they've had enough. We haven't seen anything like this for a long time.
Not for 20 years in Britain.
Pardon?
For 20 years we haven't seen an event like that.
Yes, a long time, and I feel that this is a sign that the consciousness of the people is growing and that we're awakening and that greed is no longer our best use of our time and our best way to go. We need to relook at the morals of how we make money, how we distribute it. And I think, you know, the Pakistan floods are a huge sign as well that the Dera people, the people, the landowners have manipulated the use of such a huge force on the earth. And I think the earth, and I think that God, people are not going to stand for it any longer.
Okay, Wendy, thanks for that. Tell all your friends in Edinburgh to watch us in future. and we need more calls from there. Let's go to High Wycombe, near-ish to London. Talk to Tariq. Tariq, welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, hello, George. Nice to speak with you. Firstly, I must say I'm a great admirer of your eloquence.
Thank you, sir.
The point I have to make is a very important point that not very many people realise what's going on in the world. Up to World War II, Britain was the undisputed country which was in charge in terms of their power and their colonies and so on. But after World War II, the United States has emerged as the number one world power. One of the ways they did this is they gave martial aid to the Europeans in the form of dollars. They encouraged the Middle East to use dollars to for the sale of oil. Then subsequently, we've become accustomed to using dollars for the purchase and sale of all commodities, including gold, other metals, food, things of that nature. So the world has become dependent on using the dollar. And what's happened is, whereas ordinarily everybody else has to actually work hard and export something to be able to earn those dollars, to be able to buy oil and necessities in, that they need in life, there is only one country that doesn't follow that rule, and that is the United States themselves. The value of their currency is not sustained by what they actually make and how hard they work in order to export it. Their value of their currency is artificially determined by what by the world markets, because they use the currency in other ways, you know, to buy and sell oil. 50% of all international bilateral transactions occur with the dollar. So that means that their currency is the world's reserve currency artificially. So consequently, if they need to buy anything, they can just simply print the money, which is effectively what they're currently doing. There is a big debate going on with how much money they are printing. Now, you'd think, well, that causes inflation. Wouldn't that cause inflation in the States? No, because those dollars remain outside, because people hoard them, governments hoard them, they keep them in order for, you know, for a rainy day. It's the world's only reserve currency.
Good call, Tariq. In fact, China holds more US dollars than the United States Treasury does. A very good a talk there on the issue of the dollar as a reserve currency. It's not what we're dealing with tonight, but it was a very good call nonetheless. Let's go to South Wales, though, talk about George Bush with Brian down there in the valleys. Brian, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, George. Yes, I thought it was really amazing to see George Bush admitting now that, yes, he gave the orders to waterboard. How many times did he deny it? How many times did he say, no, we didn't do that? He was asked again and again, no, we didn't do that. But he didn't admit that they passed the orders for Abu Ghraib. And I read a book before, tracing the chain of command and the how they try to get the law changed and passing the commands from general to general. To get to Abu Ghraib, it wasn't just the soldiers suddenly decided, oh, we're going to do this. It wasn't some, you know, a few bad apples. That's what they wanted. They want them to believe.
You know, the fish rots right from the top, Brian. Sorry to cut you off, but I want to get more calls in. Alazami is in Manchester on the student issue. Alazami, welcome to the show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Okay, hi, George. This is Salman from Manchester. I wanted to, actually, I'm a university lecturer, and I wanted to give our perspective on the tuition fees issue.
Yes.
I was educated in Bangladesh and in India, and all these years of my education, we always looked upon British education system, British universities, as one of the best in the world. And as we see now, as my own experience of teaching now, we see that already we are pressurized with very high, very high number of students. Now, because of all the cuts that are coming, we are all talking about tuition fees, but the funding, the teaching fund is almost going, for,
yes,
particularly for arts and humanities.
Yes.
And what we are going to see now is, a lot of redundancies and a lot of teachers losing their jobs. And what will happen, those poor students who are going to pay extortionate amount of money
for less face time with the teachers.
We'll be faced with teachers not being able to provide quality education.
Exactly. They're paying more and getting less. Thanks for the call, my friend. Sorry to cut you off, because I've got to go to Ireland and talk to Charlie on the same subject of students. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hello, George.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I'd just like to say that I think the occupation of the Tory headquarters by people struggling, like the students, is entirely appropriate. It's the absence of a clear leadership that leads to things like fire extinguishers being thrown, and it's the weakness of the existing leadership and their failure to lead a direct attack on the attacks that brings this about.
Yes, but there are means of occupying places without destroying them, Charlie, and there are means of occupying places, it's a time-honoured tactic, without setting fire to buildings in which large numbers of entirely unconnected workers are merely doing their daily duties.
I agree entirely with you, George, right? But that, I agree entirely. But until we get people occupying properly and well-planned, these things will occur. I'm saying that it's the absence of leadership.
Okay, Charlie, good call, my friend. Thanks for that. In Ireland, let's stay in the UK, go to Abdul on both the subjects on the agenda tonight. Abdul, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, George. I agree with you on the topic of George Bush, but I disagree with you on the Oxford University topic. I'm surprised that he wrote a book. I mean, he couldn't speak two sentences without making mistakes, and it was the subject of several comedy shows. Apparently, he's the U.S. president with the lowest IQ in the 80s.
It might not even be in three figures. It might be a double-digit IQ.
Yeah, and then I was told that apparently in America, the Texans are the most feared people, I mean, for their vengeance. And I think his was a case of him paying for the sins of his father, George Bush Sr.
No, but neither of them is a Texan, in fact. They're both from the Northeast. Texans are very fine people, in my experience. Tell me quickly why you disagree on the student issue.
Look, Oxford is a prestigious university, and the students coming out of there, there are people waiting in line to employ them in the top corporate companies, and they're paid fabulous salaries, and they have private tutors. And so why should the taxpayer fund them?
Because you're missing the most obvious point, Abdul, that I've said three times already. I'll say it for a fourth time. When people get jobs after Oxford University, first of all, we all get the benefit of the education that they've had, and then they pay higher rates of tax. And the more they earn, the more tax they pay, or should pay, used to pay, but under this condemned coalition, are likely not to pay. So it's discrimination against poor people going to Oxford University. And if we don't change it, there'll not be many Abduls from the United Kingdom in Oxford University in the future. Inshallah, next week.